everyone. My name's Mary Tivy, and welcome back to the Animal Health Surveillance Podcast. So today we're going to be moving into the sphere of equine surveillance, and we have as our guest Abby McGlennon. Abby has been working as a researcher in equine surveillance and has recently started a PhD working on the Surveillance for Equine Strangles project. So she's come to talk to us today about the project and to just give us a little bit more information about her PhD work and also about surveillance for strangles as a whole. So thanks so much, Abby, for coming onto the podcast to speak to us today.
So, yeah, I guess the first thing would be good to talk about is just, you know, from your opinion, why is strangles surveillance so important, do you think?
So strangles is a highly infectious bacterial disease caused by Streptococcus equi. And despite sort of being mentioned in veterinary literature hundreds and hundreds of years ago, it's still a global problem in horses to this day. And if there aren't sufficient biosecurity protocols in place on a yard, then strangles can sweep through a yard with morbidity rates as high as 100%. So, you know, if you're not on it from day one when you notice a horse with a snotty nose, then you know it could just get around a yard super quickly. And despite impacting equine populations across the world and its ability to spread through national and international movements of horses, strangles and infection with Streptococcus equi, it still isn't recognized as a listed disease by the World Organization for Animal Health. And I think that sort of that alongside other reasons for controlling strangles sort of makes it challenging. So there's this lack of awareness and education about the disease amongst horse owners. Sort of they may have heard rumours of it or sort of know the stigma about it, but they don't actually necessarily know its mechanisms of transmission and how they can sort of deal with it or prevent it, more importantly. And then failure to comply with biosecurity recommendations and pre-movement testing and quarantine protocols when you get a new horse and so on, and also limited surveillance. So you can say strangles is endemic in the UK, but we don't actually have a true number of, you know, the number of cases or outbreaks that are seen annually. But strangles doesn't have to be endemic. And because it isn't reportable, as I say, pinning down the true figure is hard. But by creating a surveillance network based on lab diagnoses of Streptococcus equi, we can begin to at least investigate the spread of the disease across the UK on lab diagnoses and create outputs which can help increase awareness of areas with higher diagnoses. And this surveillance is really important for everyone across the equine industry, so owners, vets, paraprofessionals. It enables them to remain appraised and aware of what's going on around them, and they can increase their biosecurity and hygiene protocols if they know they're in or travelling to an area of the UK with strangles diagnoses. And, you know, they can put all these measures in place to help reduce the spread of strangles amongst different horse populations. So the surveillance is super important. And as I say, strangles doesn't have to be endemic, and the more aware we can make everyone about it on different levels, so owner education and awareness of the disease itself and its mechanisms, but also vets and paraprofessionals and, you know, their awareness of where it is in the country and what clinical signs to look out for, it can all contribute to reducing the spread of the disease and sort of making it not endemic, hopefully, in the future.
Yeah. I mean, I really like the way, you know, you sort of highlighting there that, you know, it's been around for hundreds of years, and yeah, it's still such a problem, isn't it? And
yeah,
you know, as you said, there is a, you know, a really big stigma surrounding it. So yeah, I think it's really nice to hear that. And you know, obviously, you know, yeah, your kind of views on the importance of surveillance for it. So I mean, how did you get involved with strangle surveillance, you know, sort of prior to, you know, your PhD project?
It's pretty short and sweet story. I was working in the epidemiology and disease surveillance group at the Animal Health Trust, and the opportunity came to apply for a lead researcher position to develop and implement a surveillance system for strangles in the UK. Having worked with the bacteria as part of my undergraduate dissertation, being a horse owner myself, I kind of had an active interest in strangles and the disease, and I also was interested in research. So I thought, you know, what better way to get involved with research, which kind of ticks all the boxes for my interests, you know, professionally and personally, and get involved with this new and exciting research, which is really necessary. So prior to starting my PhD, I spent a year and a half building up the Surveillance of Equine Strangles Network from literally blank page drawing block to a fully fledged surveillance network, which is really exciting.
Oh yeah, amazing. So how does the PhD project fit into that then? So how are you taking it forward?
So my PhD is pretty much an extension of the original project. We kind of, both of which are kindly funded by the Horse Trust, and my PhD is literally called Utilising the Surveillance Equine Strangles Outputs to Better Understand the Dynamics and Control of Streptococcus Equi Transmission. So, you know, very does what it says on the tin. And in short, SES, sort of the acronym for it, collates epidemiological information from contributing labs across the UK when they have a positive diagnosis of strangles. And these labs will also send a bacterial isolate to SES for whole genome sequencing, meaning we can build a molecular library of S. equi strains from across the UK, which is linked with epi information such as horse demographics, clinical signs observed, reason for sampling, and a rough location for the diagnoses based on submitting vet practice location. So that in itself was already completely novel information that hadn't sort of been put together before. And my PhD is continuing this really valuable surveillance by firstly expanding the network internationally amongst a few countries. This will allow us to review and compare diagnostic approaches to strangles between countries, see what sort of differences are faced for vets internationally. And closer to home, I'll be utilising the genetic data we've already got and will continue to get throughout the project, and we'll be linking this with social network analysis to try and further understand if there are common transmission events between genetically identical samples reported to SES. So for example, in 2019, five samples from three SES labs across the UK were found to be genetically identical, and these five samples were from four horses and were submitted by four veterinary practices over a 90-day period. So these samples are a prime example of how conducting more in-depth analysis to see if there was a common transmission event between each horse just shows how necessary it is to sort of look a little bit deeper. So these horses were from different counties. If you looked at them individually, you wouldn't know that they were, or they may be connected. And that's what we want to find out in my PhD, essentially, is sort of, can we join the dots? Is there common transmission events that we can identify and sort of raise more awareness about, you know, people's actions, maybe at shows or, you know, different paraprofessionals, maybe they need more education about sort of biosecurity between yards and so on. So yeah, we're excited to see what will happen. It's not going to be a witch hunt. That's definitely not what this is about, but it's more finding out if we can pinpoint areas of biosecurity which may need to be heightened, essentially, in sort of education campaigns and so on. So yeah, it'll be exciting.
Yeah, that sounds really exciting. Yeah, it's really interesting to see how it's developing. And you mentioned you obviously have a kind of network of labs that are contributing, you know, data to the project. I mean, how big is that network?
So currently we have nine diagnostic labs across the UK. And we have the sort of the main labs which report most of the diagnoses for S. equi across the UK as well. So we have a pretty good coverage of what's going on in the UK for diagnosed strangles outbreaks, which is really good, really realistic sort of data coming through.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah. Really interesting. And you mentioned obviously about, you know, some of the things you're able to do now as well. You know, things like sort of localizing cases and that kind of thing. So, you know, I think that's coming on to my next kind of question, which is, you know, what do you think the benefit of this project or this type of surveillance is for vets out in practice? You know, how can it be helpful to them?
Yeah, great question. So far SES has already led to improved knowledge of lab diagnoses by integrating the yes, no, positive, negative diagnosis with a clinical history. And the temporal, spatial and genomic data as well. So from that, you already have a broader picture of what's going on, you know, with a lab diagnosis of strangles. And surveillance outputs have also contributed towards updating clinical guidelines as well. SES is part of the Strangles Awareness Week collaborative sort of members as well. So we help contribute to educational campaigns aimed at sort of horse owners and paraprofessionals. And the surveillance outputs also aid continued molecular epidemiological analysis, which can sort of go towards updating diagnostic tests and vaccines and so on. We can keep an eye on the active strains of S. equi across the UK and make sure the diagnostic tests we're using and the sort of work going towards new vaccines can stay up to date and be relevant as well. And quite importantly for vets, I'd say we have an up-to-date website which displays visual summaries of what's reported to SES, including a map of the UK showing the frequency of diagnoses per region. And this gets up to date. This gets updated as soon as I get something reported to me. So the website is pretty much near real time to when SES has a new diagnosis reported to it. And also, I guess finally, this is where we sort of contribute to clinical guidelines. SES has been able to identify that the most common combination of clinical signs reported alongside a sample is typically pyrexia and nasal discharge, not the classically described signs of strangles such as abscesses and glandular swelling. And this information in itself is so important for vets, and through sharing it with vets, they can be aware of the need to screen for a range of respiratory pathogens when a horse presents with non-specific respiratory infection signs. And to not discount strangles as an option just because there isn't glandular swelling or abscessation yet as well. So I think it's really valuable to vets to sort of stay up to date with what's going on in the field, what's being seen by vets when they're submitting samples for diagnosis, and what they need to keep their eye on, basically.
Yeah, I think that's really, that, as you say, that's a really valuable piece of information to have, that kind of, you know, that update about kind of, yeah, you know, clinical signs that you need to be looking for as well. And also really nice to hear that you've got that resource, you know, on the website, which provides that, you know, localized information, but also, you know, really real time information as well that you know, vets can access and, yeah, and see what's going on where. Yeah, that's really good to hear. So, I mean, are there any ways, I mean, I know we've touched on a few of your outputs and things from the project, but are there any ways that vets can get involved? You know, is there anything they can do?
So this is a lab-based project. So we sort of get our data fed in through the labs. But the best way that vets can get involved in sort of the whole collaboration of strangle surveillance is to really encourage, where possible, owners to get a lab diagnosis of strangles. I mean, we understand that there's a number of factors that come into play which may prevent or, you know, discourage owners from wanting to go down a lab diagnosis. But it's really important to know what's going on in the field. And at the moment, with lab-based surveillance, obviously it's the best way forward. Secondly, and most importantly, to make sure we can get the best, most accurate analysis from our data we collect, we urge vets to fully complete laboratory submission forms when submitting a sample for diagnostic testing. So it may seem a bit trivial, you may not have enough time, but filling in the demographics of the horse, any clinical signs seen, why you sampled that horse, is super important information for us to be able to stay appraised of what's going on in the field. And I think it's so important to highlight that vets are an integral cog in evidence-based veterinary medicine. So providing full information about the horse, clinical signs, reason for sampling, it enables this accurate research to be undertaken, which can then go forward into updating clinical guidelines, and therefore keeping vets up to date with what they need to be looking out for. So it's a nice sort of cog and chain description, I suppose you could say, but, you know, evidence-based veterinary medicine, lab-based surveillance, you know, vets are so important to that. And I think, yeah, they need to sort of be aware of our appreciation for what they can provide to the surveillance systems as well, even if it's not a direct link.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, that's, yeah, you need all of those inputs going in, don't you, to be able to to get anything out of the system, really. I mean, you spoke a little earlier about, you know, the way that you're kind of moving forward with the PhD and, you know, trying to expand now, you know, expanding internationally and that kind of thing. But, you know, can you see any other ways that the project may kind of evolve going forward?
I think at the moment we've seen a few challenges and delays thanks to COVID. I mean, haven't we all? But I think going forward, we're just about to start the second phase of the PhD project, which will be conducting the more in-depth epidemiological and network analysis into these outbreaks where we have a positive diagnosis and a bacterial isolate. And I think this will be a really exciting next chapter for the PhD. And once we start sort of getting this information fed into us, we can sort of see if we can pick up on transmission events or, you know, just something which may look a little bit suspicious when you put multiple diagnoses together, and just see what's going on and if we can find out, you know, if there are things that lead to people unknowingly linking strangles outbreaks and, you know, unknowingly spreading it. You know, no one wants to spread strangles, so it'll be really exciting to see if we can sort of find things which we can help to prevent the spread. So watch this space.
Yeah, oh, it's so interesting to hear, yeah, how the project's, how it started and how it's kind of evolving. And yeah, it's such important, I think it's such an important piece of surveillance to do, actually, for, you know, obviously something that, is obviously still such an issue, you know, within the equine industry. So yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you look at a few disease surveillance sort of initiatives, rightly so, you know, the reportable diseases get a lot more publicizing and, you know, a lot more attention on them, and sometimes endemic diseases can maybe be a little bit dismissed sometimes, but actually if you put the effort into surveillance for them and, you know, get everyone on board, we could change, you know, strangles to not being endemic, and we can make it easily preventable and so on. So I think it's really important surveillance to have down, definitely.
Yeah, no, certainly. Oh, well, lovely. Well, thank you so much for coming and speaking to us today and obviously just telling us a little bit about
it. Thank you for having me.
So thanks very much to Abby for being part of the episode today. It was really great to talk about the Strangles Project in more detail. If you like the series, please do mention it to your friends and your colleagues. And for news and updates, you can follow me on Twitter at the AHS Podcast. Of course, I would love to hear from you. If there's anything you want me to cover, or if you have any questions, any suggestions or anything like that, then please do feel free to get in touch with me. You can get in touch with me either on Twitter or on the website. Thanks so much for listening. See you again next time.